Hello! All right, welcome. This is the War on Pop Culture podcast, the only podcast in the entire world where we talk about pop culture.
All of pop culture.
All. That's a
fact.
We're
the only ones who tackle it all.
Fact.
Yeah, fact. I checked it. Yeah.
Did a research.
Well, I just want to introduce everyone to the one and only... the hot sauce lover himself, Michael V. Hot sauce lover. Entrepreneur and
spicy.
You are spicy.
And the lover of Smash Burger.
Because that's the last thing I ate.
Justin Williams.
I was like, why is that?
Yeah. He just had Smash Burger.
It was good though.
Wait, have you? Is it good? I've never had it.
What?
I've never had Smash
Burger. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. Worth a eat.
Ranked top three of all burgers around here?
No. I don't think. It's a chain.
Are we going to do a burger episode, guys?
Burger episode. It's a brewing.
Scrap everything.
Erase the white.
BRB. We're going to Wendy's. We're going to White Castle. White Manor. No. And this is Rob taking a sip of his oyster stout. How's that stout?
Oyster
We're
beers.
Drinking the Bad Mother Shucker beer from Abita. It's delicious.
Yeah. I said Mother Shucker.
it's a family show.
By the way, guys, this is our 20th episode, so congratulations to us. Cheers to that.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers to a big 20. One more year, and we can vote. I mean, drink beer. I got my history messed up.
That's how it works. Mike has beer coming out of his nostrils.
All right. Wrap it up.
Before we start, I want to give special shout outs to some new listeners. So first off, give props to Angela, the Breen machine, the knowledge monster.
The Breen's listening?
She got turned on. She liked it.
Yeah, Breen!
Yeah, so props for...
Angela is the name?
Angela,
yep. Hello, Angela.
That's Rob. I think you've met, maybe. I don't know. You should want to meet him. Do you hear that voice?
Yeah.
Why, hello, Big A.
Big A.
Big A.
I'm sure she'll love that
name. She loves that name.
I know
Angela. She loves that name.
And the other new listener is Mr. Jean Vieux, Mr. Bob Marley himself. A close friend of mine. I haven't seen him in a minute, but I told him about the podcast. He's
Jean?
He goes by Jean, but...
Billy?
It's like Billy? A Haitian French Jean Vieux.
That's excellent.
I know, right? How smooth of a name
well,
is that?
Well, welcome to the new listeners.
Big Jean.
Good one. Everyone's big here. We do it big.
Thanks, Smash Burger.
This is Big Mike right here.
Big Mike.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give shout outs, special props.
And what's up, Chris?
And Chris,
you're still out there. Chris and Pat.
This might be our best intro ever, by the way. I just want to put that out there. Best intro.
Saving it for number 20.
Obviously. What's going to happen on 21?
Oh, God. We'll be voting.
Drunk off of votes. That's what we should do. Best episode. We should vote because it'll be legal.
We should have an episode where we rank all of our episodes.
That'd be good.
I like that.
That's a terrible idea. Why would you like that?
I like that.
It's the worst idea of all time.
Great. Who's going to argue with us? Nobody's listening to them all. It's perfect.
All right, so we had this competition over a couple weeks ago when we started the box office challenge. We all picked movies that were coming out in the summer, and whoever had the largest gross total of their opening weekends from the movies that they selected going to win a couple beers from us. Mike is in the lead.
I knew. Typical Rob fashion.
He's
going to just say, I'm in the lead.
These are the facts and the stats.
Where Rob has more... Don't you have the most movies yet to come?
Me and Justin equally have 3 movies released, 5 to come.
Okay.
You have opposite, flipped. 5 came out, 3 to come.
But aren't we very close in terms of...
We are very close.
Robert the Liar.
It's like when like you're on 9 and he's on 8 victory points and he's about to build 2 fucking cities.
Like, no, you're in the lead.
Yeah, no, get you him. Get that guy.
Wow, this is the most specific demographic of conversations I've ever heard.
Mike's in the lead, he's got Sausage Party coming down the pike.
Can't miss, it's a grand slam.
I do have 3 movies coming out in the next 2 weeks, so hopefully they do well.
What do you have coming up again?
I have no idea, I forgot.
Secret Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets, Tarzan, and something else.
Tarzan, I feel, will be a dud. Secret Life of Pets will make a ton of money.
Tarzan, I'm hoping that it makes at least 25.
Which I would say that's safe.
That's safe.
Because I picked Tarzan as my last pick. So if it makes 25 okay. last pick, that's solid. It's up against Sausage Party. Mike's last pick.
Oh, Rob,
it's going 50. It's going 50.
Well, I think what's going to hurt that movie is there's no star power. Like, Alexander Skarsgård, if you don't watch True Blood, do you know who that is?
Yeah, that's
no.
true. Well, can we talk about the big flop of Independence Day, then?
No.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? It didn't come out Independence Day weekend. I don't know why. I had no idea it came out. I thought it was coming out this weekend.
It would make sense to come out this weekend.
I bet you it makes more money this weekend than
that's
last
what I was going to ask you, yeah.
People are like, wait, it's out?
Yeah. Wait, let me check my watch. It's not Independence Day. Why would we see this movie? I thought, yeah, that was strange. I think that's...
Well, the first one, if you remember, did come out Independence Day weekend.
I'm not going to say that's the excuse of why,
well, why it made so much money.
that's the only reason. Look, I have to be at the movies. The movie told me to.
But I think, Justin, you mentioned it, that it did lack the star power, and that's why you thought it was going to be way under expectations.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I couldn't name 3 actors.
Well, besides Goldblum and Pullman.
Which are not even B-list actors.
Yeah, at this point, like, I love Goldblum, but, like, come on, he's not going to pull a movie himself.
What? Not a song. Not like Liam Hemsworth, isn't he in it? Am I making that up?
I mean, he might be.
Isn't Hemsworth in it?
Sure.
Really? I don't know. I have no idea.
Why not? It's not Thor.
So you guys haven't seen the movie then,
right? Well, I think what also hurt it, though, is, again, we go back to the tomato meter. It got terrible reviews.
Yeah.
No one's going to want to dish out money to go see this movie.
Did Independence Day, the original, get good reviews?
I think it did. I mean, like...
Or just decent?
It was a different time, 97.
Exactly. There was no tomato meter, so...
I just think because Will Smith was in it.
Will Smith being in this movie would have at least helped my cause, even if he was in, like, a cameo, like, hey, what's up, and died.
Hey, yeah, Will Smith.
I heard he was in a painting.
There is a painting.
Whoa! Yes, spoiler alert!
Yeah. You don't need to see it. There's a painting. Will Smith. Yeah.
It gets older as he stays the same. That's what happens in this Independence Day in my head. I heard it was bad. A good friend of ours wanted to leave 20 minutes into it. So
yeah,
wow, one of those. That's pretty bad.
I would have paid to have seen it if it was your idea.
I know.
Will Smith is Dorian Gray fighting aliens. Like, sign me up. Sign me up.
Probably would have been better.
Yeah.
Better script. Yeah.
Alright, so are we going to our news segment now with Justin?
The news?
Or are we...
Justin has the news.
What's news with Justin?
What's news?
How about this new? Justin? We're making this up.
Oh!
This Justin!
Drop the mic!
So yeah, I got a couple entertainment news stories here that we can share and talk about. The first one, I didn't realize this movie was that old, and then apparently it was more successful than I realized. But Wreck-It Ralph is coming back in 2018.
A sequel?
Okay.
Oh,
they're re-releasing it.
Why would the original come back? I'm pumped for that. I love Wreck-It Ralph.
It's a great movie.
I didn't see it, but I didn't realize that came out in 2012.
Wait, have neither of you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it.
You guys were both love this movie. How could we
I don't know.
Dude, seriously, it is good. It is. If you ever played 8-bit Nintendo, you're going to love this movie.
I did not.
What's a Nintendo?
Nintendo did not.
So creative, so... Oh my god, I want to watch it right now. I'm going to wreck it! You'll laugh when you see the movie.
Is that what that gesture was? That was wrecking it.
I feel like I'm watching it now.
And it's hilarious because, like, who's Kenneth in 30 Rock? What's his name?
Jack McBryer.
Yeah, yeah.
He voices one of the main characters, and every single time I hear his voice, I just laugh. So it's kind of hilarious.
I do love Kenneth.
And Jane Lynch voices a character too. They're very distinct voices, and when their voice acting is just, I just laugh really hard. It's funny. Okay. It's very funny. pulls at the heartstrings a little bit. And John C. Reilly is great in it.
Well, he's coming back, so he better.
He's Ralph.
I'm going to wreck it.
Can you get it through one more time?
He's going to be in a painting in the movie. Painting of Ralph. This is the one Ralph wrecked it. But we have to move on and fight these guys.
This is Wreck-It Rob now.
Yeah, Wreck-It Rob. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the first story. All right, the second story. I can't believe this is real, but apparently it's a thing. So Joey Fatone,
NSYNC.
I was going to say Backstreet Boys. I'm glad you corrected me preemptively on that one. As you can tell, that was my genre. He's opening a hot dog stand. Okay, so just based off of that,
I am so intrigued right now.
So where do you think this hot dog stand might be?
It better be local.
No. Underwater. It's not that exciting. All right, it's at a mall in Orlando. Come up with a good name for the Joey Fatone hot dogs.
Fat ones.
You got it!
Hey-o!
Wow! Marketing genius over here. So, yeah, he'll be working Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays from 7 to 8.
I like how you threw in that last day.
Serving you a fat one. Get your Joey fat one.
Is he personally going to be there at all times?
God, I hope not. That's what his life has devolved to.
He's trying to capitalize off the success of Wahlburgers. He's like, well, if the Wahlbergs can do it, why can't
Joey Fatone?
Many reasons why. Yeah.
Just about as talented. All right, the next one. So Izzy is it? I hate to break it to any Izzy and Nick Young fans, but they broke up. There was some recent drama. Do you know who does
Izzy?
Iggy Azalea. Yes.
Better known as Izzy, though.
Yeah. Well, you know that's a thing between her and I. Yeah.
It's because he cheated on her, right?
Well, so they were still trying to work it out and stuff, and then the straw that broke the camel's back is apparently she caught him bringing girls into the home that they share on the security camera. Like, bro, you either don't give a shit, or you're stupid. Like, you know there's security cameras there.
I'm gonna
like,
go with don't give a shit.
Yeah.
This is Nick Young we're talking about.
Wait, who's Nick Young?
He's a guard of the Lakers. He's
a basketball player.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. When you're young and making millions, you don't give a hoot, you know?
Yeah, you just don't give a hoot.
I don't care if you're Iggy or not, you know? You just do what you want.
But what if you're Izzy?
Well, that's a horse of a different color, okay?
Well, Iggy, just in case you're wondering, I'm available, so you can now contact me. It's fine. I'll set up that line.
Give him up. Call him up. Call him up.
Get him, Iggy.
The last piece of news.
You guys would be Jiggy.
Oh,
Jiggy!
Oh my God!
True, getting Jiggy.
That's great. Yeah, I'm like up there with Nick Young. I think
we're already shipping you and Iggy. Yeah.
Call up Hollywood. We've got the perfect man.
Because there's no one else named Justin.
Yeah. Or whose name starts with a J. Even that's all you need, really. But
screw you, Johnny.
Ignoring that part, yeah. But recently available. Likes to punch things, apparently. Yeah, I don't know why that's a good thing, but... yeah. And then this last one, kind of sad, depending on your stance, Jessica Williams of The Daily Show is now formerly of The Daily Show.
I heard about that.
Who's that?
She's a black female reporter on the dish.
Did she get let go, or is she leaving for something
she's
else?
She's leaving to focus on her own project for Comedy Central. So
this is a positive thing then, if she's
right,
good.
Right.
Cool.
And, you know,
do you guys still watch The Daily Show?
No.
I don't. Yeah.
But I was gonna say there's been like a mass exodus of the Jon Stewart class of reporters all leaving. What's the what's her name? I love this girl, and I just can't think of her name right now. The blonde girl, she has her own show now.
Samantha Bee?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
Samantha
good.
Bee
she's
left,
very good.
But she left after Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Now she's leaving.
Yeah.
I mean, they all leave.
Yeah, but not in like a wave like this. You have to realize Colbert was on The Daily Show for like 15 years. He was on when the first host was on, Craig Kilborn.
Yeah.
Colbert was on that. Carell was on it for a while. Mo Rocca.
Oh man, some good ones.
Oliver.
Yeah.
John Oliver.
John Oliver. Yeah.
But I'm saying they were all on it for a very long time. That's... Well, what's the... I don't even know the new guy's name. What's
Noah.
His name? Trevor Noah?
Trevor Noah.
He's in some... Deep.
Sorry, guy. Yeah, every single, really...
yeah, every single snippet that I see, I'm just like, I'm not really entertained. You
he's
know,
not it's just, John Stewart. Yeah. It's no. just he's not John Stewart.
I think he should. They should go in a different angle at it because you can never replace John Stewart. They have to take a different perspective to that show. Well, you can't replicate it.
I kind of feel like they've tried that though from the few episodes I've seen, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't translate.
No, no. And I actually haven't seen Colbert. Different show. I'm like, what? I haven't seen Colbert on his new show, even though we're talking not about the Colbert Report. It's because I like the Colbert Report better. No, I like the Colbert Report better than the Daily Show. So. But yeah, that's what I got for the news. So,
does that conclude our Just In segment?
That is, it's just out. Just out.
Well, I have one thing, and this affects me and Rob probably pretty deep, but did you hear that today? Amidst all the rumors speculating for months that they did announce that this is Brand New's last tour.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Brand New is officially done after this tour.
So what's this 2018 shirt?
I think they just did that for Stay 18 Forever. Because it was 2000 to 2018.
I honestly, I'm okay with that. Like, I've
don't
seen
like
them.
The new song. And I don't like the new song.
I've seen them so many times. It's just like, I'm not going to the show. And I'm okay with it, because it's just like, I've seen it so many times. The only song I've never seen him play was Daisy, and that's
and
it.
They're never gonna play it.
They're probably never gonna play it. They're great. Still one of my favorite bands of all time, especially live. But you know, I've seen them enough. And farewell. I bid thee farewell. Have a good time. They'll be back in like 5 or 6 years because they're gonna need money. So
that's true.
Everyone always comes back. You're gonna call it quits, like Yellow Card just call it quits. They're doing their last tour too. Everyone comes back.
And everyone eventually needs money.
What else are they gonna do, right?
Needs me.
Sell pianos on a corner.
That's where you sell pianos.
Open up a hot dog themed restaurant. That's apparently what you do.
Alright, like, what do we got next, guys? What's on the agenda? We can look at the whiteboard now that Justin said.
We're legit operation now.
We have a whiteboard.
We've got
that's
some
all
notes.
We got.
We've
that's
got
we
a whiteboard.
Say. We've got tablets up the wazoo.
It's what you find. Beer.
Buttons.
Underage beer. We're only 20 episodes old, though.
Alright, so what have we been watching, fellas? This is when the crickets button comes into play right here.
Game of Thrones? We'll save it.
You're going to save that. Should I just talk about what I saw then?
Yeah.
I can talk about what I'm never going to watch again. Sadly, the death of Vinyl. They announced that even though they...
Did we talk about this last episode?
No.
Oh, we didn't talk about it.
We actually talked about the last episode. I think that they're renewing it. And then since then, they went, no, sir. And they're not.
Yes, Vinyl got the can.
Damn,
got scratched.
No more. So, how do you feel, Mike?
You know what? Kind of bummed. Actually, now that I'm saying this, we definitely talked about this.
We definitely talked about it.
Yeah, we did.
I'm still sad.
I don't know. Your emotion hasn't changed.
I'm more sad now.
It's been ruminating.
Well, you're the only one that watched it out of us three. And
anyone I know.
And I remember you saying that when the finale was about to come up, you were just like, meh.
I liked the finale.
You liked the finale?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought it was going to set up a good second season.
What band was the finale?
It was their band. Band. Okay. But they introduced CBGB. And it was going to be a whole punk rock second season. Not happening.
Sorry, Raymond.
Ray Romano.
He was actually really upset about it. I read some interview that he was like, he felt this was his chance to really show his acting chops. And he was really proud of what he did on the show, and that they finally gave him a chance, and they're like, sorry, Raymond.
Find something else, buddy.
No one loves you, Raymond. Yeah.
You shouldn't take it personal, though. It's not like they canceled it because of him.
They actually said.
Yeah. Everything went so well, except Ray Romano ruined it.
If you were Kevin James, it's still your show.
I forgot he was on that. I do like Everybody Loves Raymond. I like that show. I don't know about you guys.
I just like Ray Romano. I like Ray.
In general? Yeah?
Yeah, just like Ray. Him on Dr. Katz back in the day, hilarious.
Oh, Dr. Katz.
He was so good on Dr. Katz.
Anything else?
I don't think this is new, but it was new to me. I watched an episode of the Jim Gaffigan Show.
How was that?
I don't know why Comedy Central picked it up. Like, it's funny because it aired on Comedy Central, complete with, like, the... What channel is it actually on? I want to say...
Is it, like, the FX or something like that?
No, not even FX. Like, Nick at Night. It's, I don't know. It was on some other channel, and they aired the commercials for the other channel too. Like, it was weird. I don't know. It's not that. I feel like it's edgy, maybe for older people, but like,
for Gaffigan, I mean, like, his comedy isn't edgy.
Not even edgy for him. And no. It's another thing where, like, I was a big fan of his. Well, still am a big fan of his stand up. So when I hear all the, like, I've heard a lot of his jokes already before, and when he works them into, you know, a television show. It doesn't hit the same, and it's like, I've already heard it, so it's like, oh, okay, this is the part where you do that joke that you told 10 years ago. Like, all right, yeah, fine.
How many Hot Pockets bits are on that?
I actually didn't see the episode I saw. I didn't hear him say Hot Pocket one time.
I'm amazed. So, yeah. I'm amazed, Jim. Come a long way, Jim.
He's branching out.
Yeah. So that was interesting, but, you know. Although Michael Ian Black, there was a lot of people in it, too. Michael Ian Black was in it, who I loved, but...
So did you enjoy it or no?
I mean, I'd watch it if it's on, maybe, but I'm not going to go out of my way to try and see
it. You're not DVRing it and catching up on it?
No. What happened to Michael Ian Black? I used to really enjoy Michael Ian Black, and I never see him anymore. It saddens me.
Yeah.
Michael Ian...
Stop by. Why don't you stop by the podcast?
Get on this podcast.
You ain't doing anything else. Come on, just...
You could be our guest.
He's on the Gaffigan Show.
Next podcast, Mike Lee and Black.
You heard it here first.
There'll be a painting of him.
MIB. All right, so I watched the movie, finally. I think this is the first movie I've watched in like 2 or 3 months. So that was exciting. I finally saw Finding Dory, but I didn't watch it the opening weekend to give Mike any money.
No. Imagine if you win by like $7. I don't think it goes that. Yeah,
that would be so funny.
You don't get a beer.
So spiteful. Just drop it as you hand it to him.
Like, oh, sorry.
Shadows all over the
floor.
By the
way,
Butterfingers.
Finding Dory, sequel to Finding Nemo. Have you guys seen Finding Nemo?
No.
Yes.
As you guys may or may not know, I'm a huge fan of Pixar movies, and. Finding Dory just continues Pixar's incredible studio streak. Best studio in Hollywood has been since 1995. Yeah, I loved everything about it. It's good, but I feel like if you haven't seen Finding Nemo, you'll like it better because it really just rehashes the same story. It obviously is called Finding Dory. She has to find her parents. Finding Nemo lost. Got to find his parents. What's interesting, though, is I don't know how many sequels in history has taken the original, made a sequel of it, but with a supporting character, now the main character in the sequel.
Right.
Evan Almighty.
There you go. That's a good one. That was really good.
Right at the top, too. Yeah.
How many more? Like, that's interesting. Like, that doesn't happen often, was what I'm trying to say. But that was a great...
I can't think of anyone.
That was a great example.
I can't think of Evan Almighty pretty quick.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that one. So.
Yeah. How did that do? Cool. Did that bomb?
That bombed.
It bombed, right?
Yeah.
I liked Bruce Almighty, though. That was a good movie.
Bruce Almighty was good.
Right,
that
was all right. Yeah, I'll give it a 7.5.
Yeah. That's really quick.
Well, I mean, it's not as good as Nemo, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how many gums? Where are we at the gums? I can't get it off.
What is
off.
That?
I have this stupid robot.
I got a new tattoo.
On your thigh. On your inner thigh.
Taylor, my girlfriend, stopped me from putting this on my face. In retrospect, I cannot thank her enough because it's been there for 5 days.
Your girlfriend's a fool. From doing the stupid stuff.
I would have had to been at work for the last 5 days.
I'm so sad it's not on his face.
No, it'd be terrible.
This is like the saddest moment.
We'll sneak in when he's asleep.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot.
How many gums? I would have to give it 8 gums. 8 out of 10 gums. The thing about Finding Dory that Nemo didn't have is a lot more... there's just this one game-changing moment in Finding Dory when you're just, like, you're hoping... And you know it's a Disney Pixar movie. It's going to end happily. You know that. You're just, like... But this one scene is just so powerful. And I'm just, like... You're really rooting for Dory. And then something happens where, like... But it's on such a greater scale than you can ever imagine it. And I'm not going to lie, guys... I tried so hard to hold back my tears during that scene. Like, I tried really hard, and you know, I tried so hard, only a single tear on both
sigh trickled down my cheek. Single tear. I held it in as much as I could. That one tear. One side, I felt it trickle down that cheek. And I'm just like, oh my god, this is the craziest, one of the most powerful, heartfelt things I've ever seen in the movie. So yeah. Because of that, I'm gonna give it that. Yeah, I was gonna give it 7.5, but I'm giving it 8 out of 10 because that scene was just way. I'm getting choked up thinking about it right now.
I hear it.
It was such a good scene.
Can I guess what happened?
Yes.
So Dory forgets a lot of things, right? Kind of like in the movie Memento. She killed her parents and found out that she killed her parents, and she'll never find them.
Sure.
All right.
Sorry, spoiler.
Yeah. How did you know?
I'm good.
You saw it too, didn't you?
He was sitting right behind me.
I was laughing at Rob. Yeah.
Throwing popcorn on his head.
Loser. Stupid. No, it was really good. And obviously Mike knows it from his team. It made a shit ton of money.
It did.
Did it beat
Captain America? It did, right?
No.
Oh, no, it didn't.
But it was the most any animated film made
has
opening
ever
weekend.
Made an opening weekend.
Right, so that's solid. Uh-huh. And it's kind of like it was 13 years since the original. So that's a long time.
That is a long time. I didn't realize it was
2003.
That
Nemo came out that long ago?
2003.
Holy cow. Actually, yeah, 13 we were years in high ago. School when
exactly.
that came out.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. So that's a long time for it. And, but Pixar is kind of back in, not back, but they are in this sequel game because it was a long, like Disney never did sequels, Pixar never did sequels for the longest time except Toy Story. But now they're just doing sequels for everything. It's going to be an incredible sequel, another Cars, another Toy Story.
Another Toy Story 4?
Toy Story 4 is coming out.
Wait, really?
Yeah, really. Toy Story 3.
I can't wait to see Woody partying in college.
Toy Story 3 was so good, and I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna make another one, but they haven't struck out yet on any Toy Story movie, so I'm excited.
I cried so much in Toy Story 3.
Toy Story 3?
I wept like a child.
Dude, oh my god, yeah.
Toy Story 3 got me.
Save it for a good cry, I guess. Yeah.
Every Pixar movie. Have you not seen Up?
I saw Up.
Tier City.
I stopped up because I was like, I thought this was supposed to be happy, and it's not.
I'm supposed to feel joy.
I want to go to my happy place.
And also watch the Silicon Valley finale. Mike hasn't been caught up, so I'm not going to mention
finale,
it too much.
I like that.
Valley finale. Justin, you don't watch the show, do you?
I mean, once in a while, but I'm not current in the storyline. Hot to the plug.
Have you not watched the episode?
No, I haven't seen it yet. Okay. I want to see it so bad.
All right. I won't say much. I'll just say that...
Does he come back? Is he in multiple episodes?
No.
Okay.
But I'll just say it's very predictable because you can tell how the first two seasons gone in Silicon Valley. There has to be a lot of ups and downs. It's a roller coaster ride for to get their startup off the ground. And like every finale, they're kind of on the down. That's all I got to say. But... the group of guys are amazing. Jared has become a new
Jared's
favorite character.
So good.
Easily my favorite character on this show.
So
he's so freaking funny. But yeah, let me know when you catch up and then we can have a more extensive talk about
by
it.
By the next podcast, so we'll definitely be caught up.
What's up, Justin?
You know who I heard was in this one? Paul Dano's in it. So I know you're
guys
geared up to watch it.
So. What's it called? Swiss Army Man?
Yeah.
That comes
have
out this weekend, right?
Has it not been out?
I don't know. I'm going to see it by the next podcast. I'll see it. I heard it's great. I heard it's got nothing but great reviews.
I heard good things.
Yeah.
I did too. It doesn't look like a movie for me, but yeah. I mean, if it's good, it's good.
I'll let you guys know.
If it's good,
it's dead. It's dead. It can't be bad.
All right, is it time to go into the big segment?
So, yes, there was another finale that happened. It's this new show. I don't know if anyone's heard of it.
It's really small. We've talked
about it a few times.
Once or twice.
Once in a while.
It's passing. Called Game of Thrones?
Thrones?
Thrones.
The Thrones!
Throne Game.
Throne Game?
One of those two. Yeah, something like that.
Game of Chairs.
Season 6 has ended. Finale style, longest episode in Game of Thrones history. Madness is happening. Justin, let's start the combo going. What do you got? What do you got? Justin has a lot of notes, apparently.
Oh, man. I did a thorough rewatch of the finale because it was so good and also a little distracted the first time.
We were distracted.
But, it was just... Man, overall impressions. It was really good. So much madness happened, but they did a great job of like tying up every storyline but also like turning the page into something new. So
Game of Thrones do that very well with their finales. It's always their penultimate episodes of the season that really something crazy happens, something really big, you know, like the big climax of the season happens. But then the season finales are always like wrapping things up and moving the chessboard pieces for the next season to come.
Right.
And that's what exactly what it did in this finale. And because of the extension, they were really able to touch upon everything. I know you're going to go into it right now, but I just want to say that the opening 15 to 20 minutes was incredible. That montage with the piano music, I don't think this has ever been, I don't think they've done this yet.
Like,
this was amazing. Dude, so into it. It's so cool, man, the way they shot that.
The second that music even hit,
yeah,
I was like, that is unlike any, just the music alone.
Never
like any episode of Thrones.
I read a little bit on this, and it was like whoever was directing it or something like that, they said like he had this idea for this montage and he had this piano music in his head, but he goes, like what you guys just said and like we all were thinking, this doesn't feel like a Game of Thrones type of music. He's just like, I'm gonna suggest this, but I assume they're going to replace this with another type of music for this montage that I had an idea. And apparently they couldn't find anything better than that, so they're like, we gotta leave this music in, and it just worked out so perfectly.
The director of the finale should direct every Game of Thrones episode. Do you guys know his credentials?
No.
Thrones? He directed Hardhome, he directed Battle of the Bastards, and he directed the episode, I forget the title, but it's the one where Tyrion was on trial, and he has that big speech at the end.
Okay.
Easily, those four of the top 10 best Thrones episodes, I would say ever.
Yeah.
They should just hand it over to him. Just take it.
Hand it over.
Take the series.
Yeah.
So what do we think of the finale?
Are we going to go through that, or you want to go through details?
We can go through the notes. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. So we can just go. How about we go scene by scene?
Okay.
And impressions. So,
Queen.
Yeah, Mad Queen. Maybe it was symbolic that she was up. So she was the first one they show.
Yeah.
They show her looking at the thing. Maybe that was symbolic of her just being ahead of the game of everyone else, because she was not totally ready, but like she was already up and at them where they show everyone else still getting ready and stuff. I don't know, I thought that was a little symbolic.
We talked about it in the last podcast episode, that this was in Bran's vision. We suspected Cersei was going to blow King's Landing up. I'm actually very glad she did.
Yeah.
I didn't think that. Because I remember talking about it, and I was like, I don't think that's it, because I thought she knew about that, so I didn't think that was the secret.
Right, but no, they held it enough so, like, maybe it was Bran's vision of what the Mad King was planning type of thing, or is this something like a premonition that this is going to happen in the future type of thing. But it is interesting that Bran did have this vision, that was included in it. So, like, what else does Bran know?
Well, Bran, I think, can see just across time, obviously. He can
right.
see the
future. We'll get into Bran when his scene comes, but he is just such a fascinating, game-changing character. I just really hope that whatever her name is, Mira or something like that, can carry him more than, like, 10 blocks without getting tired or something like that, because they have a long way to go to Winterfell if they want to travel down there.
Yeah, they just got...
I love that guy that just left him there.
Yeah,
he's like, I'm done.
You guys will be fine.
But we'll get back to that. We're doing scene by scene. Yeah, incredible scene. Yeah, just the way it unraveled. And then, like, when was the moment, Justin, when you realized this was happening? That she was blowing everything up?
When the kid, Lord Lancel, when they're like,
when he followed the
kid. And then
what was up with those damn kids?
Oh, dude, the little birds, they're
are they brainwashed or something? Why are they doing this? Like, why would they just...
They just get paid. I imagine they get money. Yeah, some kind of financial
candy?
Compensation.
Some candy?
I thought I heard something about...
Some candy?
Like, who's the... Pycelle, the guy that they killed. I heard that he did something to them, and I'm
Doesn't he molest them?
Yeah, was that...
I don't remember that ever being implied in
exactly.
the series ever, but everyone seemed to be on the same page, like, oh, he molested them.
I was like, this is definitely why.
Oh, right over my head.
Yeah, I was like,
this is something I would remember.
He's quite the idiot for what, like, he's like, oh, where's the king? I'm down in the science lab. Yeah, it's sort of dark and dank. Yeah, I'm sure the king's down here just waiting for him. I mean, dude.
And then finally when he gets there, why am I here?
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Oh, kids with knives!
It's my demise.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
But no, so that was the moment when you realized that this was actually happening. And that must have been, like, oh crap, this is going down. I love how Marjorie realized it first.
She's the smartest out of all of them. And she knows what Cersei is capable of. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm so sad Marjorie's dead. I liked Marjorie a lot. I didn't want that character.
Did you really like Marjorie a lot?
I mean, she's hot.
Yeah.
No, but she's a strong character. She's intelligent. She was smart. I don't really know where the Tyrells stand at this point.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, so one thing I was going to say about Marjorie dying, I understand why it's good for the plot, how it helps move the plot along, but I did really want to see what she had planned to get out of that situation, because she was still stuck. She and her brother were still stuck in a situation where they were going to go on trial.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of wanted to see what she would work out.
And she obviously had something. You know, she told the grandmother to leave. You'd imagine she had some backup plan.
Yes, exactly.
We'll never know now.
Yeah. But, I mean, I still think they have a big army, and now that Lady Olenna wants revenge, you know, which we talk about in a later scene, like, I think it's funny how many problems she solved that Cersei solved in that one scene, but
how many she's also
enemies she made. Yeah, she just made a bunch of enemies, so like even more than she had before, so it'll be interesting to see how that wraps up.
Definitely.
I'm just so happy the High Sparrow's dead. He's up there with the governor from Walking Dead. It's like one of the most annoying villains I've ever seen in my life.
It's interesting now, because we kind of suspected the possibility of Cersei dying in the finale. She was the one that kind of rose up as your main villain now because of what she just did. And it's so fascinating because, her stance now, she's just kind of like, it's kind of like she's been somewhat internally fighting that fact that she is the true villain, maybe, of the show. And, like, she's kind of been going, and especially Jaime has kind of gone from villain to, like, everyone kind of likes Jaime now. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll get to it by scene by scene, but I love that stare down at the end with Jaime to Cersei. When he realized what she did, he's like, you gotta be kidding.
He realized they call me the Kingslayer because I killed the guy who was about to do this.
What did you just do? All right, but let's.
Oh, and the visuals are great, though, with the wildfire. I think even better than the Battle of the Blackwater. Yeah, because just seeing it go through the city and, like, they definitely did it better than Green Lantern.
Yeah.
HBO has more money.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the next scene we are going to discuss?
So,
or is there anything else there?
No, I mean, the shit blew up. Shit hit the fan. So, what is kind of crazy is Cersei got what's her name? The priestess, not priestess, the nun who was
I love that scene.
It's like, I don't really like to see vengeance played out like the way it was, but like at the same time, it's like that's really
that was such a brutal scene.
I love how when she's walking in, she's going confess, and as she's walking out, she's going shame. It was so good. It was so good.
I mean, we have to admit that walk of shame that Cersei did. And no matter how terrible of a villainous character she is, we felt bad for her because that was just so brutal. It kind of did bring me joy too to see that she got her revenge and is going to continue to get her revenge with her.
And she did make a good point, is like the, what's her name, Unella, Septa Unella, definitely could have felt that way, like she got enjoyment out of torturing her. So
I love that. You're not going to die today.
It's like, no.
And it's interesting how we were, a big theme in the beginning of the season was prophecy, and the biggest prophecy around Cersei was that all of her children were going to die.
Right.
Tom and whoop.
That's the one that thing was interesting. I did not see coming. I didn't see him just jumping out of the window and killing himself like that.
That was such a crazy. I think it was the most tranquil death scene that we've seen
on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, the whole series, like. No music, no nothing, and I love the cinematography.
Shot. Yeah, yeah. Great.
It just stayed on that open window, and he I'm like, okay, whatever, let's go to the next scene, and all of a sudden,
why are they still showing it?
That's why.
Is there it's like a hay bale under there that he just jumped into? I don't know.
Yeah, I love that he just like took off his crown really slowly and everything, and just did the deed. Got to get it done.
Yeah.
And it was just, I mean, we'll get it. I don't know how strict you want to go scene to scene. But it was interesting. It kind of seemed like her reaction to his death wasn't nearly close to her reaction
to Joffrey's death.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And even the daughter, like those were like, she was messed up, and like I think she just accepted that prophecy after a while. She's like, you're right, my kids are gonna die, there's nothing I can do about it, that's why I'm gonna just...
And she lost the only thing that she loved dear, you know, so it's jumping forward a little bit, but it's just crazy how from then on I feel like every scene that she was in, darkness. It was so dark, and I think it was so symbolic of
the
person she is now.
I loved
who she's going to eventually become.
Yeah. She is embracing her dark side here, and I kind of like it a lot. You know, I like, you know, especially because we're gone with Ramsay now.
Yeah, we do need
to do that villain.
We said we were concerned who's going to take over the role of the villain. Now we know.
Now we know.
Well, that's part of the reason why I didn't think, you know, she'd just blow up King's Landing with herself included, because then there'd be no one there to...
Okay,
to,
right.
There'd be no conflict, because whoever gets there is the next. But, yeah, with her in charge now and being fully dark, it's going to be powerful.
And still with the mountain.
Yeah, I still want to see him.
That was cool to see him with the helmet off, though.
Oh, yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Now that Cersei is in charge, do you think we'll finally see Gimli again?
He's somewhere rowing that boat.
But he's the heir. He's the heir.
It took me a second to figure out.
Gendry. Gimli is Lord of the Rings.
That would be awesome. You're going to have to toss me. Oh man! Yeah. See, either one of those would make my would make
Gimli would season. Be great. Too.
Either one would be amazing. Yeah, I knew who you were talking about.
But do you think Gendry's gonna come back? He's maybe. Baratheon's son.
My thing is, if he can't just come back the way he is, because they're just gonna be like, oh, I killed that guy.
You're dead.
Yeah,
he's gonna be with someone or something.
Maybe
Lady Melisandre.
No, maybe a Dany. Danny probably is like, oh, man overboard. It's this guy on a boat. What, you're a Baratheon? Yeah, you can have the throne. I don't know. But, yeah, maybe that's what will come up.
I'm thinking if he does come back, it's going to be a very short stay for him.
He needs some kind of
half an episode
time.
Max.
He's been on a boat for 3 seasons now.
I know they've been revisiting. They've been revisiting a lot of loose end characters this season. He was not one of them, though, because of all the characters that were there. They were reappearing. There was speculation that he was going to come back. Never came back. I don't think he's going to matter at all.
You don't think he's come back at all?
I think if he does come back, it's going to be half an episode. He's going to get... I don't think he matters at all to the story.
It'll be interesting. I mean, it is tough. We've got so many key players already set up that, like, to build up a storyline for him, because, I mean...
Did you hear?
No.
13 more episodes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Last
yeah.
Two more seasons, right?
Yeah.
Shortened seasons.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to... They're pressing the acceleration pedal. They're going to go to the end now.
It's really, like, in terms of, like, a 10-episode season, you're looking at a season left.
Right.
Much, yeah.
Do we have time to spend more than one episode on Gendry with this?
He's a Baratheon.
There's no way he's a big
right
player.
He's the last Baratheon.
He is, yeah.
He's the last Baratheon.
For now.
Yeah, we'll show
so
him.
We think.
We'll show him getting cut up a little bit.
Can't wait for that sweet Gendry blood, can you?
And Gimli.
Gimli's gonna kill
now when Gimli comes.
Gimli's gonna. There can only be one. G-named character. The Frey. So we went to the twins next. So the first. Okay. Well, so there were two scenes there. The first one was with him. Celebrating with the Lannisters.
Yeah. Jaime especially. That was interesting. Did anyone see the Arya thing coming? Can we just combine those two scenes and talk about it?
Yeah.
Did anyone see the Arya thing?
I didn't see the Arya thing coming, and that was my favorite scene of the entire episode.
It was pretty.
I loved every second.
They're right here.
Oh, yeah. She's got Tenermindum. She fed, like, you ever see the South Park episode of Scott Tenermin? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite
scene. But prior to that, it was very interesting. Jaime is just like, he's such an interesting character.
Yeah.
I love Jaime's character so much. Like, everything he does, even like the last couple episodes when he's talking about like how he'll burn the whole world to the ground for Cersei because he loves her so much. He really embraced his villainous self too when he was talking to Edmure or whatever like that. Or, you know, when he captured him, he was talking to him like,
I'll
what he would
do anything.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, he, but then like, then he's just like, just shutting up the fray. He's just like, listen, like, you got nothing. Like, have you seen
war?
Have
you seen? Need
like,
you for?
Like, exactly. Why do you keep we keep on having to help you out every time you fail to secure this? Like, why are we keep doing this? You're just gonna keep losing it. And any scene with Bron is just awesome.
I don't really care. I love Bron.
Bron is just amazing. He needs his own sideshow, okay?
He needs Andres of Bron.
I would spin-off. A Podrick and Bron spinoff would be the best.
Or Tyrion and Bron. Brains and Bron.
That would just be an amazing show to watch.
And you know what else was funny about that scene is that Walder Frey mocked Jaime for getting captured by the Starks. And then two scenes later, he gets
by the young Stark
by the youngest
girl.
Stark girl. Granted, she had a mask, but still, she made him eat his kids. Like, that's
You're right though. That was a very joyful and very fulfilling scene to see Arya cross out another name on our list.
Yeah.
How many names are left on our list? Cersei, the Hound is on her list
still.
And she doesn't.
Melisandre. She doesn't know.
Isn't Melisandre on her list?
I forget actually.
Well, oh, because she took Gimli.
Gimli. Yeah, she took Gimli.
It's not hard. He's kind of small. was she, though? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I
we
know
can look this up.
Right. Cersei.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
I'd love to see Arya kill Cersei.
So are we assuming that Arya is traveling now to Winterfell
she's going to
from
Winterfell.
This?
I guess so. I mean...
Well, did she say? She told Nick Kroll that she's going to Winterfell.
Right, we just didn't know she was stopping here.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
Well, it's kind of on the way.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so what was next? Oh, Sam. Sam made it to Old Town.
This is fascinating to me. I like this. I like Sam. See, Am I the only one that likes Sam?
I like Sam.
I like him. Yeah. I'm curious to see where this is leading. Because it was just like, here's a huge library. And
I want to know the significance of the chandeliers because that's the opening credits.
Yeah,
or
that was cool too when I read that. I just read that he's gonna be there to read more up on the White Walkers and how to defeat them.
That could very well be.
Other than the two things that they know that can defeat them, they're gonna need a little bit more probably. But that's a very large library.
Think, the third thing's like measles,
smallpox. Give them these blankets.
These blankets, Night King.
If we give the aliens a code.
Do you think there's like a Google search or some kind of Dewey Decimal System going on? That's a large library. It's going to take him years to find out any information.
Did you see how happy he was?
He got a totally, like a learning boner when he saw how big that library is. And did you see the hipster librarian? Did you see those glasses?
Yeah.
I wanted to punch that guy. No women allowed! Punch him in the face. Shut up! We're learning shit.
I love how they're supposed to be... Isn't their whole purpose of Old Town and the library supposed to be like knowledge of everything? And they didn't even know that... the Maester has died so long ago.
Oh, yeah, he's like, according to our records...
I'm like, how do they not know this now? Come on. Yeah. Send a damn raven over there. Come on.
Yeah. I think Sam handled it well.
Sam's interesting. The storyline is very...
Yeah.
It's just so unimportant compared to everything else going on, but it might
but
essentially be
the
important thing.
Could be.
Back to Lord of the Rings, you could throw that Sam is one of the major reasons. The biggest player at the end of the game, so, you know, we'll see. I like Sam, though. I didn't like him for a while in the beginning when we were introduced to Sam.
He was just that annoying guy lagging behind. Yeah.
I'm like, just kill off this cow and just get on with it. But
he almost did. He almost ate it at Castle Black.
Should have. Probably should have.
Damn.
Get Gimli back in here. Alright, what's next?
So next was up north at Winterfell. So we had...
to the King of the North!
King of the North!
Yeah, we had Jon exile the Red Priestess instead of kill her, which I thought
I
was
love that.
Fair.
Davos, I honestly did not think he was going to do it, though. Did you guys think that he was actually going to take Davos aside and exile Melisandre?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I was just like, I can't see him doing this, but I'm so glad he did.
Davos is like his right-hand man.
That's
true.
I think I've been so used to all this time everyone just believing this Lord of Light and Melisandre, whatever she's saying. I'm just so used. I'm like, come on. She's obviously just spilling some BS right now, but is it really? Good? She has shown some powers here and there, so it's interesting.
I mean, she brought him back from the dead.
Right.
So, I mean, if he was going to be like, kill her, I'd be like, dude,
you're alive because of her right now.
And my thing is like, yeah, she might have counseled Stannis to do that, but Stannis is the one who did it.
That's
like
what she said. Parents did it.
I'm like,
her parents did this to her.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm like, why don't you just take whatever... Like, she brought you back from the dead, okay? Why don't you just take whatever advice she has with a grain of salt and move on. Like, just don't if she says to burn your sister, just don't do it.
Don't do it. Yeah, don't.
I mean, it'll be simple as that.
You just gotta do it. Yeah, I hear you. But she's gonna be traveling south. Any idea where she might be traveling to?
To Gendry.
Gendry. Where's that guy in the boat?
She has like a GPS tracker on Gendry, right? I was like, oh, by the way, I want to go to pick you up right now and then Uber you over to King's Landing, maybe.
Catch a covered wagon.
But yeah, you know, I don't know if I'm interested where she goes. Is her storyline over? Is her storyline over or no?
I don't know if it's not completely over. We'll definitely see her again, but is she going to be a major factor or no?
She can just meet up with the Brotherhood without banners. They have the same god.
And finally bring back someone.
Oh, what's the gun with that? Maybe. Like 5 years later.
They got to do
just
it.
Just like a walking skeleton.
They got to do it.
Arya would be like, Ma! Oh, man. So then there was that scene with Littlefinger.
That was fascinating.
I think he's going to be a huge villain in the next season.
I still love Littlefinger.
He's a great character.
I love him so much, and I think this was so... Okay, I personally think this was like maybe the first time he was ever genuine. Not talking for a different objective. I think he actually spoke
his genuine about being an asshole, though.
Right, but him saying that he's doing all of this to be on her side as the... I thought that was the most genuine he's ever been.
I don't buy it.
For him to be the king?
To admit that he wants that. He's never really admitted that before.
He's always admitted he's wanted power.
But not that throne, power.
Yeah, no, he's. I don't think he's ever...
I don't think he's ever admitted that before.
Season one in the whorehouse.
He has speeches about power, but never, I want to be the most powerful man.
I can give speeches about, like, cheeseburgers. It probably means I want a cheeseburger right now.
Yeah, but he's not talking about that power. There's a different degree of power what he's talking about there. And I was fascinated by that speech.
I've always thought he's just been trying to go for the throne.
I never thought he wanted the throne until now, honestly.
I thought he did. I forget who said it, but... maybe it's Cersei. It said, "Oh, Littlefinger would burn the Seven Kingdoms to the ground if he could be ruler of the Ashes." So, like, I kind of thought he was.
Right. That was a quote, and that was a fascinating quote. Yeah.
But I don't think he's never come out and said as much. But I don't trust that he. Like, if you could say, "Oh, you can either have the throne without Sansa, or not have the throne but have Sansa." He'd take the throne without Sansa.
And of course, and yeah.
So when he's saying, like, oh, I've always envisioned you by my side. Because
he knows he needs her.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the reason he's saying it.
Are we tying in the other scene with Jon Snow now, or are we going to do that later?
I think I skipped ahead, so...
Okay, because it's... I mean, like...
When he's giving Sansa the look. That look was fat.
There's been a lot of good looks across rooms in this episode. Yeah. You know, everyone's king of the north, and of course the little girl that rallied everyone up.
Yes, again.
Awesome scene.
Yeah, awesome.
She is amazing. But yeah, that's just that stare down that Littlefinger gave. It was really very telling. It seems.
So that was towards the end. I think he was recognizing the shift in power. Like, he was unifying the north. Jon was. And I think he's finally realizing what a danger he might be to his power. I don't know where he's going to go with it. I kind of thought he might be getting ready to jump ship, because I don't think they trust him. So I think he might be getting ready to jump ship and go back down south and try and side with Cersei again or something. Because
Littlefinger's?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I mean, I think it would help the plot because, I mean, as crazy dark as Cersei is, she does have a lot of enemies. She needs more allies, or I think more people on her side now. And I just don't think, you know, Sansa's displayed her distrust for him, and she and Jon had a conversation about how they need to trust each other. So I don't know. I just don't think.
I'm just curious as to where Littlefinger fits in with the army from the Vale. Is he really
pretty much the head at this point?
It seems like it, but is he? And, like, so how much power does that get thrown around? How much power does Littlefinger have right now?
Head of that army is the young king. It's Littlefinger. He can manipulate anyone. Of course, he can manipulate this 8-year-old boy having him do whatever he will with the army.
So my thing is, so because Littlefinger is there at this time, is the Vale backing the North? Or are they just kind of just separate? Why did they do what they did if they're not going to back Jon Snow right now?
No, well, because they were under Littlefinger's command, and Littlefinger wanted to help Sansa. I don't really think he cares that much about Jon.
But if Jon and Sansa is going to be together, wouldn't that just coincide with the Vale defending the North as well?
It does.
Yeah, I think so. I just think, I think they Littlefinger might lose his control over them because he just brought them up there. He can't then go be like, okay, now kill this.
Guy we saved, kill him.
Yeah, now we gotta get him. So I think he just played his hand and now is losing because they're not gonna turn around. And plus, they are cousins. I mean, what's his name? The Boy King and Sansa. So I don't think he's gonna then go and kill his cousin because his uncle said to. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I don't know.
I guess we'll see.
No, but think about the kid, though. The kid, I feel, is completely under Littlefinger's control. If he doesn't have the strongest morals or really sense of loyalty.
But it's still, like, I don't know.
I just personally find Littlefinger's storyline so fascinating.
I think it's
the least predictable of any storyline that has been going on for the last half season, at least.
Yeah, he's even said, like, keep your enemies guessing as to what your intentions are, and they can never know. So, yeah, I just think he's gonna...
Because I don't know, our conversations that we've been having throughout the season, I feel like, for the most part of season 6, it's been kind of predictable. I think it's been the most predictable season in Game of Thrones history. That being said, I think Littlefinger is that one character where I'm just like, I have no idea what he's going to do next. I have no clue.
Right.
And I love that about him. I truly like that. All right, what do we got next, Justin?
What about the scene at Dorne with Lady Olenna and Varys just walks through the door?
I didn't like it.
No?
I thought it just happened way too smoothly. I know they have the common enemy and everything, but just like, don't they hate each other? Don't the Martells and Tyrells hate each other?
Do they, though?
I thought they did.
I don't know.
I thought they did.
I think they just both hate the Lannisters.
Yeah, I don't...
I kind of always had the sense the Martells hated everyone.
Right.
But
I kind of feel like
they really hate the Lannisters. So anyone's going to side with them and hate the Lannisters with them, I think they're going to
accept. Yeah, I think they'll roll with them.
I don't know. I thought that happened way too easily. And the way just Varys just comes out of the shadows. Let me just smooth this over.
Yeah, I've got something to touch on. And I like how Elena was like, let the grown-ups talk. Like, all the daughters.
Oh, that was funny.
She's like, please.
I think she's a hilarious guy.
Dude.
Tyrion and then her is the second funniest, I feel.
Dude, great. They're both great.
At that time, at that scene, did she know what happened at King's Landing? Yes or no?
Yes.
That's what I was confused about. I wasn't sure. How does she know this? How far later is this?
See, that's the...
You don't get messages across quickly in Game of Thrones. There's no cell phones.
Ravens, man. Ravens are quick.
If you notice, Varys made it to Dorne and then back to sail with Dany.
So, I was so surprised.
The timeline is a little weird.
To see Varys there, I'm just like, there's no way that just happened.
Yeah. I thought they were going to meet Varys, and then they pan, and then there's Varys. So I'm just like, wait, you were just over there. How did you get...
A dragon picked him up.
I don't know.
I 100% feel like they knew what happened in King's Landing.
They had to, because she was like, she said, I'm not here to save myself anymore. No, but...
Did she specifically mention that she lost Marjorie?
Yeah, I don't remember this. I lost my son, my granddaughter, my grandson.
Yeah.
They say that.
She's like, I'm not here for preservation anymore. I'm here for vengeance.
Okay.
So, they knew what happened.
Okay, so we can assume that this shitstorm is coming right at King's Landing and Cersei. And you add up all the people against Cersei, she doesn't stand a chance. But what's up her sleeve? She's got to have something that's going to...
Is it green and under the city?
Is there anything? Is there more? Or is it or gone?
Well,
I feel like we're depleted.
The army is still huge. Am I wrong? Don't they still have a very large?
But they don't stand a chance against the Tyrells and Martells. I feel.
I feel like they do.
And the Vale.
And the North and Vale. Yeah, that just doesn't. they don't have that big of an army.
And oh yeah, the Unsullied are coming.
Yeah, but you know,
they're all gonna come just conjoin there.
John and the Starks are they see the bigger problem right now being
right,
North.
True,
they're
true,
the only ones that
care as much
true,
about
yeah.
Cersei.
No, you're
that's
right.
True.
Do the Lannisters stand a chance against the Martells and the Tyrells? I think yeah. Do they have a chance against them and the Unsullied with the dragons? No fucking way.
Yeah.
But that's why we're going to tune in season 7 to see what's going to happen.
Seriously.
But no, do I think, like, literally everyone next season's going for Cersei's head? I think Jon realizes more than anyone there's bigger
fish. He's like, listen, yeah, there's something else going on up here. I'm the only one that believes it, apparently.
There's literally zombie monsters coming from the north.
Hey, guys, might want to take a look at
this.
The
there's this dude, he just raises the dead.
Yeah.
He increases his army every single time. You might want to pay a little attention to him. All right, so what do we got next, Justin?
All right, so next, we covered a lot of this already.
We talking about Bran now?
Yeah, that was the next one. I was going to, again, just dropping him off on the side
so
of the road. Like, I got to go. And he's like, finally, I get to feel up this tree.
I'm just like, why do you just leave him there?
Oh, finally, thank you, tree.
I get to molest
you
this
know
tree.
What, you know what I don't like about that big surprise at the end of the episode is
it wasn't a big surprise.
And it goes back to what you were saying that this was the most speculated season, but it was very predictable. You see online there were so many theories that was ruined for me before the season even started. Like, I would like to know someone who saw that scene was like, oh my god,
I
don't
think
didn't see this anywhere.
Yeah, what?
Where was this?
I think at this point though it wasn't a surprise, I'll give you that. But I think just finally having it revealed was important because now we can finally get on with it. You know?
Right,
it wasn't
right.
a big surprise. I don't think they played it as that big of a surprise.
I just wish it was a surprise. Like, something like that, I wish
it
was.
You have to stay off the internet for everything to
that's
be a surprise.
That's true. I'm so wrapped up in the show that I have to see the theories.
Even if I'm off the internet, though, I called in the last podcast the wildfire thing.
That's true.
Did you not read that, though?
I didn't read that.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't see those flashes quick enough, so I was just like, all right, whatever. I saw a wildfire. I thought it was just the battle. But there's a lot of theories always going to be circulating. Did you just stay off the internet or not?
Did you see the foreshadowing in that scene, though?
Which one?
The flashback? The flashback scene. There was some foreshadowing, so...
Don't even tell.
Are we talking about the Bran scene or the
we're division? Talking about the Bran scene.
The Bran scene, okay.
Well, at the Tower of Joy.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Do you want to hear this?
Nah, you can.
I want to know. What the hell are you talking
about? I'll just say the sword was put at an interesting position when Ned Stark's character went up and met his sister. And if he juxtaposed that to... there's lore that wasn't in the show, to be fair. That it wasn't in the show. It's part of the history of of the realm or whatever, or legend of the realm. But
Hidden Temple, yeah.
Olmec.
Oh, yeah. Kurt.
Yeah, it just if you look where the sword is placed and know the significance of that sword, it's interesting what it might foreshadow.
Okay, I don't even want to know now.
Yeah.
After you saying that, I don't even want to know.
Just, if you're interested, look it up. If you're not...
We find it interesting that they still haven't really revealed who the father is, even though it's very much implied?
Oh, no, that's...
But they never say it.
That's true, they did not say it. Since you said don't tell
I'm just saying, it's obviously, you know, R plus L equals J, but they still never said it. It's like, you have to kind of look at Game of Thrones with those lenses where, like, if a character doesn't die, there's a small chance they might be alive, Mr. Hound.
True.
So just because they didn't say, they might want to just be like, hey, F you fan theories, by the way, it's the Mad King.
We're changing everything because you figured it out.
It's the Mad King that raped her. And
now she's Varys.
No.
And he's not...
He's not,
time, he's not a eunuch. He's not
a
eunuch.
Aha! Gotcha. But I do love the way that revelation, though it wasn't a surprise, was shot. Zooming into the baby, showing Jon Snow's face.
Yeah.
Like, it was the best way to... It's always like a movie or a TV show thing, like, you know, show, don't tell. They definitely showed it, and they didn't say it in any dialogue or, like, narration or anything. Like, this is actually what's happening. They just showed it with that kind of, like, transfer into that baby's face, into Jon Snow's face. I thought it was
perfect.
They
did a great job with that episode. All episode. They would talk about something, foreshadow, and then cut to the next character... who it was, and it was just, yeah. It was,
like you said, like that director, man, he's got some good chops on him.
Maybe
or
not.
Her. Is it a her?
It's a him.
Okay.
I'm not
it's about
joke.
Equal opportunity.
It could
That's
be
good.
A girl, I don't know.
Maybe the R is for Renly. There's a Renly breath in. Oh, I got really upset at that scene, though, for a second, because I thought they started to show her mouth move, like she was speaking, and they weren't going to say what the promise was. And even though, like, I kind of knew what it was still like, oh, come on, like, you got us this far, and you're not going to... And then she started speaking. I was like, oh, they just didn't. But I was very upset at the time. I was, like, yelled out.
Yeah, because I was just like, if they drag this supposed secret or big reveal any longer, it's just so much. Like you said, like, it wasn't a surprise to anyone. They just had to let it out and just go on with it, you know, because it's such a great fan theory for so long, and it finally is true, because it obviously had to be true. I'm just happy it was finally revealed.
Yeah, I'll definitely put a bone in it. And then we end up...
With that being said, Bran, I feel like...
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
He is north of Winterfell right now, right?
Yes.
How is he going to come to Winterfell with no one carrying him?
Well, I would...
What's his next move? Like, he knows this. He has to tell Jon eventually, right?
Yeah.
He has to be able to tell Jon.
You think?
Get him down to Winterfell.
He's got to get past the wall.
I just assumed...
Doesn't he have to get past the wall?
Oh, he's north of the actual wall.
I think he's still...
Right now?
Because...
How did he just go around it? He didn't pass the wall. Why did he leave him there?
Yeah, he's so like, hey, remember me? Just let this guy through. I'm going to go back and do my thing.
Mad
like,
at him.
That's all you got to do. I don't know. I don't know how he's going to make it.
I don't know if we have to assume this, but I just have to assume there's going to be a Stark reunion very soon in the next upcoming season. I hope Bran's there just to enjoy.
Imagine Bran never makes it. No, he like dies.
It's like True Detective season 1.
He's just going to hang out under a tree for forever. And never. I don't know.
Yeah, he's going to have all this knowledge and visions and not be able to tell or help anyone.
She's not calling like Temple Run.
So, like, alright, are you done now?
You can do that in real life.
I hope Bran makes it back to the Stark family reunion, because that's going to be a party I would like to attend.
Yeah.
I hope I get the invite.
No phrase of invite.
It's going to be a lot of wine. It's going to be a lot of wine and partying. At least.
Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. A lot of. Not as many direwolves as we expected, though. So.
Unfortunately.
But yeah, Bran's power is just so fascinating to me on the show, because it's such a game changer. I just hope... I don't know how, though. Who else could come and just help them out? I feel like they need a lot of help still.
I think he's going to be a part of it, though. Somehow. I'm not sure how, but... He's
a giant. A rogue giant's gonna be like, do you need a gift?
I don't know. I'll throw you.
It'll be the tree that just starts walking.
An ant, yes. An animated ant.
Tree beard? How did you know I needed to go here?
Oh, man.
We need a Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings crossover.
Game of Rings.
Oh, man.
The Lord of Thrones.
Game of Rings.
What else do we have in this episode?
And then it was just it's pretty
John
much
and
just
Daenerys.
The Daenerys coming to...
Right.
Daenerys
John's,
having a stacked army. Yeah. Jon being... Yeah,
King of the North, which traditionally hasn't worked out well.
Danny, you're right. So the Danny scene with her saying goodbye to Mr. Dario.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Didn't do it for me.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't really like Dario.
I never did either. Yeah.
I mean, I like him as a character, but I think it just tried to illustrate that she's just focused on, you know, winning the prize.
But that made her less likable, I thought. Like, I said goodbye to a man that I loved, and I felt nothing. Like, you bitch.
Yeah, it was a little cold.
I feel like the longest time, though, she's constantly been doing things that makes her unlikable.
Unlikable? She's, like, freed slaves, and, like...
I just think her personality is so overconfident that in some ways it's awesome when she's killing bad people.
Right.
But it's gonna get to a point, and it's slowly getting to a point.
People you like.
Yeah, and she has a right to be overconfident. She has a freaking dragon. She's got an army. She's got boats now. Like, she's got her game on point. She got Tyrion. Like, who can mess with that imp?
Love affair with the Greyjoy girl.
Better than my.
I'm shipping Yara and Dany. I'm shipping that.
Oh, man.
But that was fascinating, and I feel like Tyrion even kind of, like, dropped a little, like, hey, me and you,
I kind of got that vibe.
I got that vibe too.
And I was like, is she going to get with Tyrion?
I got that vibe. You didn't get that vibe at all?
I got that vibe.
He had that little twinkle in his eye during that conversation.
Dude, there are...
Many men are going to love you.
They're half...
Like me.
They're half brother and sister, though.
Well, we don't have to go there. You know?
Hey, but they... come on, this show...
Incest is not a problem.
I mean, no.
If anything, they support it.
No, there's only one family that does that, right? Isn't it just those two?
The Lannisters, what about the Freys? Didn't Walder Frey kind of mess around with his daughters?
Oh, true. And the guy up north.
And the guy up north banged his daughters.
And you know, it's going to be a long ride.
Yeah, but Craster was like an... like, yeah. I guess it's a thing.
A lot of daughter banging.
It's a long ship ride to King's Landing.
That's true.
What goes on in the sea stays at sea.
It's not going to be Grey Worm, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it won't be Grey Worm, but it might be Yara.
Yara. All I know is they better show that scene.
Do we want it?
I'm not paying this
HBO. Grey Worm Theon scene. Am I right? Is that a nubbin?
Is that
a
non-sword fight? Is
that two Ken dolls going at it. I mean, oh man. But okay, so we know she's going straight to King's Landing, or is there going to be a stop off somewhere else where she's just like, by the way, I want to conquer this area first?
I feel like they have to go through Dorne. They can't just show up and be like, hey, we're taking over. Like,
so okay, now how do you think that interaction will go? Do they know about Dany and her powers?
Does everyone know? Varys was there.
Okay.
And made it back.
Are they all joining forces against Cersei and King's Landing?
That's why I don't think she's... there's got to be more to play on her side, because if that's what's happening, and it seems like it is...
It's just going to be like squashing a bug. It just doesn't make sense right now, unless Cersei has something up her sleeve.
Right. But I think... I don't know. It's going to be an interesting season.
And well, also, I mean, I don't know. How strong is the mountain?
he takes on three dragons.
Mountainous dragon? That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be awesome. Seeing the mountain kill like the smallest dragon.
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Where do we put Euron and his people? Are they going to have any play in this next season?
I think he's a big part of the next
big
season.
Part?
Yeah.
What do you think? What part do you think he'll play?
A big one.
Well said.
Just said it, Bob.
Pay attention.
No, I think he's gonna obviously go after the Greyjoys that are with her. Maybe that will be a foe for Daenerys in the next season.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, a relatively small foe.
I mean, I still think it's gonna take 10 years to build that many ships. So they're gonna be irrelevant for the next couple seasons.
Why are you talking like that?
Thousand. No. There's only 30 people left, but we're gonna build 1,000 ships.
We need about 50 million trees. We'll be fine.
Like
and we live on an island. Asshole. Like, what the
fuck? What do you expect from us, guy?
Yeah, seriously.
We have, like you said before, the Brotherhood without banners that seem like might have a play, because I like that with the Hounds there.
The Hounds there.
I want to see what that leads into.
I think they got to go, I think they're going to help fight the Zombos.
Yeah, so they're going to go up to Winterfell?
I mean, that's what's his name? Not necessarily Winterfell, but north towards... maybe the wall.
Okay.
To a certain lady with a...
She'll be back. Yeah, she'll be back. She's there. Yeah.
We'll see Arya trying to get to Winterfell. Yeah. who else? What other loose ends did we leave?
I mean, they didn't even touch on the Brotherhood, but I'm pretty sure they got to everyone. I mean, everyone except Gendry.
Yeah.
Are we still bringing up Gendry?
I mean, I think he's going to be a part. I don't know what
that
part.
Son of a bitch. All right. So what do we think? What do we think? We have 2 seasons left, 13 episodes total. So it's probably going to be, 7 and 6, I assume?
Yeah, I think.
Sound like that.
Yeah, I heard 7 next season. So
7 and 6.
At least 6,
So,
we're 10 and 3 movies.
They
want to milk the shit.
That would be
6 seasons at a movie.
I'd buy those bootlegs.
I don't know. We're inching our way closer to the end of Game of Thrones, which will be sad to see go. Yeah. But at the same time, it's going to be fun to still speculate everything that's going to happen, since these books are definitely not going to come out before the show airs.
No, George R. Martin is doesn't care.
So I guess has our stance changed from a couple episodes ago that we think? who's going to rule at the end of the show?
I think it's pretty much still set up that it's Daenerys and Jon with Tyrion.
I just feel like that's so predictable. I wanna throw my outside prediction here.
Cersei kills them all.
I'm saying somewhere in between this and the entire series, there's a Sansa story.
The only thing I can kind of see happening, and it's ridiculous because it already happened, but just the way they portray Jon. Is, you know, this, he will do anything to just for good. He's all about just, you know, fighting the bad, fighting the White Walkers. Maybe Jon doesn't make it through the series. Maybe something happens where he has to really sacrifice himself at the end to get through.
Funny you should mention that.
No, if it's another theory, I don't even want to know.
Well, it's kind of tied into the theory, but.
That's the only thing I can kind of see.
Let's put it this way. I could very much see that, but it's still not mattering.
Yeah.
How about that? How about them apples?
I just want to say, because we were kind of throwing out crazy predictions last podcast episode, who's going to die. I think someone mentioned Sansa. And in my mind, I'm just like, I think Sansa's going to make it the long haul. I think she's going to make it at the end. And I think she might have a big play, a big part at the end. I think she's going to make it through the end. And... That happens, I think she'll be somewhere in there.
Let's put it this way. I think she can make it, but I really hope she doesn't. Like, if you think about what they've gone through and what they've meant to the show and all the shit that they've done, I feel like she's on the lower end. Yeah, she went through a lot with, like, dealing with Ramsay and, like, being, you know, led around and all. But, like, you know, Jon has, like, fought, Daenerys has fought, and, like, done all this stuff, and I just feel like if she gets some, I mean, she'd have to do a lot. Let's put it this way: she'd have to do a lot
over
the next few seasons.
Of course,
earn a spot.
Like, obviously, Jon and Danny are still, you know, the number one seeds going into this championship round. But I'm just saying, if there is an underdog sleeper story, I think Sansa is right at the top of that sleeper.
She joins the Martells, and they're now called the Sansa Seeds.
I like that.
But,
you heard it here first.
On that note,
probably only. But it's great, right. Nonetheless.
Do we want to talk about anything else about Game of Thrones before we move on?
I mean, I just liked a lot of the characters changed. Cersei got more dark, but I feel like also Sansa did in the last episode, the second to last episode. You know,
they all got pretty dark.
Yeah. Arya was like smiling when she after she was washing.
It's strange that you say that because I feel like tonally, this is, if you said everyone's kind of going dark, which I see, which is right, but tonally, I feel like this is probably the most fulfilling and happiest. And joyful season yet, because all the good guys are finally winning this season.
Right.
Nothing. Right. I feel like every single season from 1 through 5.
Well, that's a good point.
Bad guys are winning. Did they finally take that turn? We're like, okay, fine. We're building up the good guys again.
I don't want to say make the good guys great again. No, I don't want to say every season, because I mean, you know, like when Tyrion killed
Tywin.
It's like, yeah, I really like Tywin personally, but like. That was a win for the good guys.
You're right. I mean, like Joffrey dying and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
Joffrey dying.
I'm not saying that the bad guys have only been winning, but I feel like tonally, for most seasons, if not all seasons up until now, I'm just like, you know, I'm surprised about how many good guys have been dropping, you know, throughout.
Yeah.
And I would say this season, I'm going to say it's been the most predictable. Maybe because I'm finally fully engaged into it and we're having these conversations, right. So it makes me think about it more. But I'm just saying that it's been the most predictable, and that's because you're mainly going to predict the good guys winning at this point.
Right.
You know, I did not predict that the Mountain was going to beat the Viper, even during watching that scene.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's got this. Like, there's no way in hell he's going to lose this. And that was like one of the biggest jaw-dropping things for me. I'm like, you know, these things happen. And that's what I've known for Game of Thrones, so I still expect more surprises, twists and turns, bad guys winning here, but at the same time, nothing really surprised me this season.
Yeah.
Nothing. And the good guys have been definitely taking that turn, and overcoming any bad in the past that has shown. That's all I'm gonna say, and we'll see if it keeps on going. It'll be fun to see if there ever is a John versus Danny type of moment. Probably not.
You can't have two good fights.
They have to join forces to face the Night King.
I think by the time John gets through whatever he gets through to get to Danny, he's just gonna be like, just fucking take
just
it.
Just take it.
I'm tired.
I didn't want to fight last season.
It's like I was done fighting after I died.
Like, I just want to go to my retirement home.
He looks really apprehensive as King of the North, which he should be, because King of the North, traditionally not a good title.
Yeah, it's not
to
a
get.
Good thing, yeah.
That'll be a good
last manager of the episodes. Brewers. I don't want to be manager of the Brewers.
Why? There's so many other teams to manage. Why the Brewers? All right, are we moving on? Are we doing this?
I think we're good.
And me and the Jets?
And me and the Jets. Alright, so the Emmy Awards are not going to come out until September, but I think the nominations are coming out in a couple weeks. So, what's funny about the Emmys, I didn't really realize it until I was looking this up, is that we have to remember that they're not taking consideration anything happening this year. It's 2015 to like early 2016, so it's the whole TV. So season 6 of Game of Thrones, I'm not even sure if that would work.
No, it wouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm not. Again, it's very confusing.
Yeah, to
think about it in that aspect, I'm not exactly sure which shows would be. So like Fargo came out, like season 2 came out this past year.
So Fargo,
that's in the running.
Yeah,
okay,
that's in the running. But then there's so many different categories with like drama, comedy, and then like limited series or movies and miniseries.
Well, guys, let's just be real. Let's just get the obvious.
Is anything going to be Game of Thrones?
True Detective's going to
be. Clean sweep, whatever. Every series.
It's over.
The other series are going to be so apoplectic.
All right, we'll start out with drama series. Game of Thrones is definitely the front runner here.
Yeah.
But we're going to throw that, I'm going to say, wow, that won't enlarge at all.
That's what she said.
I don't know if you guys watch Mr. Robot, but I love that show.
I remember you talking about
season 2, coming out in a couple weeks. Can't wait.
Pumped.
All right.
It's must-watch TV. I'm not even joking.
All right.
Like,
wait, can we find season 1?
Amazon Prime. Yep.
Oh,
all nice. Season 1 on Amazon Prime. But these seem to be the front runners for drama series. We got Game of Thrones, Mr. Robot, Better Call Saul, House of Cards, Downton Abbey. By the way, I think it's the last season of Downton Abbey, so they might want to just reward that. And Homeland, Americans, Orange is the New Black, and so forth. The Emmys are strange.
You left out the one that really caught my eye.
Narcos. It's so far down, I feel like it'll be a surprise if it gets nominated.
It 100% should be nominated.
What? Yeah, yes. 100%
should be nominated.
It was pretty good.
It's so good.
The problem is I don't know. The Emmys are so weird. I don't know how many nominees are for each category. I feel like there were like 8 last year.
Oh, there's not even like a set.
There's no set number.
There's
6.5 actors nominated. Like, it makes no sense whatsoever.
6.5? Don't say that about Dinklage. That's not nice.
So again, like, it's your guess is as good as mine. I don't know how many nominees are going to be, but I would say I would be surprised if Narcos gets in because of the top like 6.
Well, yeah, I mean, Thrones, Saul, House of Cards. If Downton Abbey was the last season, then yeah, it's definitely going to get a nom at least.
I'm saying Robot definitely is.
Wait, so wouldn't Mad Men be in this for the last season?
No, they've been out of the game for a while.
Mad Men was the last season last year?
I think like early last year, so it kind of got. Because John Hamm won for the last season.
Oh, it won for. You're right.
Mad Men.
Okay.
Mad Men didn't win. Game of Thrones won last year of Emmys, but John Hamm won. The last season of Game of Thrones. I mean, Mad Men. So these are kind of like the front up. Are there any shows here that you guys watch that you think should be in this running?
Well, I said Narcos. I heard The Affair is really good. I don't watch The Affair. Orange is the New Black. Season 3 was so bad I stopped after 4 episodes. So that should not
what
be.
What season are they on now?
Season 4, which I heard the newest season was great.
Is it?
I'm going to get to it eventually.
Have you ever watched it, Justin?
No, that's another one.
Yeah, I've never watched it.
It's on my list.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, this is
You're saying your realm.
Like, I know you watch The Americans, you watch Homeland. You don't watch House of Cards.
I don't watch House of Cards. I would be surprised if The Americans get nominated. Not because it's not a great show, because it is. The Emmys just do not recognize The Americans at all.
It doesn't. Don't the Emmys also go for shows that have that general appeal, like audience appeal? And The Americans is not that kind of show, right? Yeah. That's why, like, I would say The Leftovers doesn't have Snowball's Chance in Hell of being nominated.
Right. You definitely need a little bit more. And you're right about that, the appeal factor.
Well, that's why I'm shocked. I mean, Mr. Robot, based off of everything I've heard, I mean, I've heard it's an amazing show. But does that really appeal to, like, a broad audience?
I think it does. If you watch it, anyone that watches it, I could see it appealing. Yeah,
it appeals to people with eyes and a brain.
Eyes and a brain is what you need for Mr. Robot. Mr. Robot's just... It's too good. I hope the second season is as good. Anyway, yeah. So... We expect Game of Thrones to be nominated and probably win, but we'll see.
Well, I was going to say, if we're going to say, like, realistically who's going to get nominated, I would like Game of Thrones to win.
Yeah. Like we said, Downton Abbey's last season might pull the upset. I'm thinking...
You don't have Walking Dead on there.
Rob. The Walking Dead. What do you know?
It's just so funny, because I feel like in our podcast, we talk about Game of Thrones and The Walking Dead.
The most.
The most.
One of them we all love, and the other
one we all hate. Can we please...
I don't hate Walking Dead. I've never seen it. So
you will hate it.
Can we please make a pact that we're going to watch The Night Of and talk about it on this podcast?
Yeah.
The Night Of?
Yeah.
What?
That's the new HBO, somewhat limited thing.
Oh, I thought you meant Walking Dead The Night Of. Like, from here.
Let's do it.
I'm just like,
I have no idea what's happening right now.
No, The Night Of looks interesting.
It looks so good.
Which one is that?
The one with John Turturro?
Yeah, John Turturro. It's like the kids in jail.
And the guy from Night Watcher. Or Night Walk. What was it?
Night Crawler.
That's the one.
Right.
Daywalk.
You can watch the pilot right now on HBO Go or on demand. Okay. They're streaming it early before it actually debuts on July 10th. So that's next weekend. But I think it's going to be a 4-6 part limited miniseries type of thing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
that's interesting.
So we could just bang it out in 2 or 3 podcast episodes. I feel like we need to have a show to always talk about. And what else are we going to talk about after Game of Thrones?
Now we're not going to have that. Yeah. Night Of.
I think Night Of will be, even if it's bad, it'll still be fun to talk about it.
Must watch.
What was that?
True Detective. We talked about. We bashed it for like months.
Oh, not even True Detective.
Oh God. What
was that terrible show? The pilot was really good.
That we both watched.
Yeah. You stopped. It's a horror show.
Oh, Guillermo del Toro, The Strain.
The Strain. Tame the Strain.
And now we got comedy series for the Emmys. Right. Deep is definitely going to be up there. But any of these bottom ones that have a chance, you think,
Broad City?
I would love to see Broad City nominated.
I can see Broad City getting nominated.
From this past season, though?
Yeah. Well, no, but wouldn't it be season 2?
Yeah, I'm so confused if it's season 2 or 3.
Broad City was great.
Season 2 was really good. I mean, I enjoyed season 3,
though.
I like every season of Broad City.
Silicon, I feel like, is a guarantee. They're definitely on there. Master of None. I could see it getting nominated. Mm-hmm. It was good.
I could definitely see Master of None.
What about, is Love on there?
Love? Oh, I do not have it on there. I don't know if that was too new or not.
I really liked Love.
I liked Love a lot, too, man. Have you seen Love, Justin?
I don't think I've seen
I like Love more than Master of None.
Is that on Netflix?
Yes.
I'll have to look into it.
I would definitely agree
with that. I thought Love was better than Master of None. I personally do not like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but a lot of people love it. And it's critically acclaimed.
My girlfriend says good things. I feel like it's just a girl show. Every girl I know that watches it says they like it.
Yeah, I did not like it.
It's like guys with battle bots. Remember Battle Bots?
Have you seen the new episodes?
Wait, there's new
Battle Bots? I watched the BattleBot episode this past week, and it was awesome.
Exactly. Wait,
so amazing. I'm so happy this show is back. And American Ninja Warrior. I don't know why I can't get enough.
I love American Ninja Warrior.
I'm going to root so hard for Silicon Valley, though. I feel like it doesn't stand a chance to win.
No, I feel like it does. I feel like it definitely does.
I feel like Veep is just such the weird thing about...
Oh, to win or be nominated?
To win.
nominated. Oh, no way it's gonna win. Right. Veep's gonna win.
I just feel like the Emmys are such a bad show to watch, award show to watch, because you have the same shows every year nominated, and the same shows usually winning.
Win every year.
Usually winning.
So I'm like, Frasier won like every year for like 4 years in a row.
Frasier,
and The Office won a lot.
I mean, and Breaking Bad won for like the last like 3 or 4 years.
That's
like,
deserved.
I know, of course, but that's the whole thing. Like, you get the, and if you're an actor, you're playing the same damn character. Right, you shouldn't be allowed to be nominated for the same character year after year. You know, like, if you have a great character, you're probably not going to be a bad character next season. You're going to be the same damn character. Why do you deserve to win?
Off, though.
You gotta pull it off. I get it, but like I say, more times than not, if you have a great character, you're gonna win more than one time.
Yeah. You know what? And if you're a great character in a great show, it's not like I've never seen like a great character on a show the next season be like, oh, he's acting terrible. Like what happened to this guy? Like that has never happened.
Walter White, wait a second. Yeah, why are you singing doing karaoke? Right? That being said, drama actor category. Kevin Spacey leads the top here because there's no more John Hamm, there's no more Walter White, you know, Breaking Bad, you know. So this
I've seen a few episodes of House of Cards.
I haven't.
He is great on that show. He really is great on that show.
He might have won one. I don't know if he
I
has.
Don't think he's won for House of Cards.
I'm saying the upset.
This guy is Rami. Mr. Robot.
Oh, okay. Well, no, he's not Mr. Robot. Okay. Wait, I can tell you who Mr. Robot is if you want. Rami definitely has a good underdog chance of taking it from Kevin. I say Odenkirk, if they count season 2, which is what I think this is, season 2 is just so amazing for Better Call Saul.
I would like to see Odenkirk.
I really want to see season 2. I there's nowhere to see it.
Yeah, there isn't.
It's so annoying.
Damn.
Wait, what about hold on. So go back though. You said Fargo would be nominated. You didn't have that on the drama.
Well, Fargo's not drama. It's limited series because it's not technically.
You're right.
It's like American Horror Story shit.
You're right.
It's not gonna be. I mean, it should be there because it deserves to be up against those people. But that's why it's gonna.
It's gonna definitely win
all of that stuff. Yeah.
What about I guess Dinklage might be more considered
that's
supporting actor.
Yep, he's supporting. He won last year for supporting.
Okay.
He'll probably win again this year. Got our boy Matthew Rice from The Americans.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even seen that series, but that season. Episode 1. Yeah. All about it.
Do you still watch Ray Donovan? Your boy Liev is there.
No, he doesn't deserve it.
Cross him off the
list. Ray Donovan season 4 was unwatchable. It was so bad.
Were you guys aware that Aaron Paul is in a show that might be nominated?
It's a Hulu show, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you have Hulu. I don't.
Or it's Hulu or Netflix. It's one of the two.
It's not Netflix.
I think it's Hulu.
It's Hulu.
Yeah. Have you seen
I heard it's good. I didn't see it. I heard it's really good.
Mr. Hulu. Yeah.
Well, do you guys want that to be the show? We all watch The Panther.
None of us have Hulu Plus, but
we all just huddle up here on my computer like I do.
Bobby Carnevale, Vinyl, do you think he'll get nominated? He's a really low shot. He's a long shot.
He's good. Actually, I don't know. He's so over the top on that show. Maybe he doesn't deserve it. I just like Bobby Carnevale a lot.
I like him too. All right, let's go to actress drama. I don't really watch any of these shows, so I can't really talk about them.
Nobody from Empire should win anything ever. That's my opinion.
I love Tatiana Maslany, but I don't think she'll ever win. But she definitely deserves to be nominated.
I don't watch any of these shows. Carrie Russell, you guys see, and
Claire Danes, Homeland.
No, wait, none of those shows.
Does a great job every single
Carrie
time.
Carrie Coon from The Leftovers. What character is she?
She is. What's the main guy's name?
I don't even remember.
Justin Theroux.
Yeah, Justin Theroux is like.
Wife.
Well, no. His love interest. Right, I don't know how far you're in. Did you watch season 2 only?
I watched like 3 episodes of season 2.
Okay, yeah. So she's the chick that's with him at that point.
Okay. Well, okay, I didn't watch season 1. I did watch season 1.
And you watched season 1. Yeah. Okay, yeah. She's...
Before.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She's one of the that's best right, characters on the show, but yeah. So that's me.
Okay. All
right, look at the comedy actors. Anyone we see here we like, guys?
Comedy actors? I don't think Aziz should win. I love Anthony Anderson, but I've never seen that show. I just love Anthony Anderson.
Anthony Anderson is awesome. I kind of want to watch Blackish, but I've never gotten it.
I love William H. Macy on Shameless.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've heard that's a good show.
Tom Middleditch on Silicon's great.
Don Cheadle, what's it?
Don Cheadle is the House of Lies.
House of Lies, yep. Who's the? I just feel like Jeffrey Tambor is it's his to lose.
I heard The Last Man on Earth is great. I've just never seen an episode of it.
I wouldn't say the word great.
I love Will Forte.
I like Will Forte. Yeah, I would not say I would not use the word great for that show, but it's decent. Maybe worthwhile watching, but there's probably like another 25 things that you should watch before that.
You know what they, you know what I don't like about 25. That? You know what I don't like about that? They don't include animated comedy act like voice actors. Why not?
Yeah, it's a little different though.
Dude, I feel like voice acting
Bob's Burgers, man.
I know,
that's
but
like one of the funniest shows on TV.
It is.
But it's like there's so it's so limited of voice actors.
If Pixar movies can be nominated for Best Picture, then animated shows should be nominated for Best Comedy Series.
I'll give you that. There should be an animated series category, but not voice acting for that. That's like saying there should be an Oscar for voice acting for Lord of the Rings, you know, and stuff like
that. It's like giving the MVP to the DH.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like
you're not doing.
You're
the
in the
game.
Wrong category. You're not in the overall category.
All right, fair.
But I would. I'm definitely agreeing with you. Why isn't there an animated series for prime time?
There should be
the Emmys.
Yeah, there should
totally should be. Let's write a letter.
From an angry
the war that, on pop culture
podcast. Yeah, we'll start a what's that petition? Go petition me or some shit like that. We'll
done.
Yeah,
let's get all Bob's 10 Burger. Of our listeners together. Let's do this.
We need solidarity.
We need you.
Comedy actresses? Do we think anyone has a chance against Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
No, she deserves it.
Schumer, Ellie Kemper.
She's funny.
But you know what? On Veep, she is not even like the third funniest person on the show.
It is fascinating.
Like the supporting cast is the best part of it.
But I think what shows here is that there really aren't that many strong comedy actresses. I think she
like
has to
Molly
win by default.
Well,
like there's no one funnier than her on this list.
There's no. Oh well, these are just what we're. Assuming
what we're assuming is going to be up there, right?
I was gonna say, like, aren't
I could have
new
it wrong.
Black, like none of those actresses.
Well, strangely enough, they made a new rule I think a year or two ago in the Emmys, where if you're an hour long show, you're considered a drama. If you're a half hour show, you're considered
a
comedy.
Get nominated for dramas.
Right.
That's okay.
You have to kind of, I think, submit some type of like retort that like, okay, we're an hour long show, but we're actually a comedy.
You're pretty funny.
Yeah, we're really
you
funny.
Laugh.
Last Man on Earth
you
is
laugh.
That. Last Man on Earth is an hour long show.
Oh, this show's an hour long? Maybe that's why I never watched.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
But like every year, Emmys are dominated by cable networks. So I'm gonna say, I personally think this should be a thing. Should categories be split between cable and non-cable
We've
networks?
We talked about that, and I do. At this point, I do.
Because there has been a point in time where broadcast television dominated.
You didn't
stand a chance. But now, the last, what? As long as we can remember.
5-6 years, I would say, at least.
I can't remember the last time like a broadcast show won drama.
Actually,
or
no,
any
even
major.
Longer, because Sopranos was the first cable show to really start dominating that.
Yeah,
And that was like back in like early 2000s.
And statistically, last year HBO had 40 nominations. HBO. The next one was ABC, and that was with 14.
Oh, wow.
That is like triple the amount of any other network. And then you have Netflix and FX in third place with 13. Like cable shows are dominating. I think they should split the categories because it's just not fair any longer. Mm-hmm. You have so much more leeway in everything.
Well, like you said, Netflix. You know who should be on there for best drama actor?
Hit me.
The guy who plays Pablo Escobar. He's great on the show. Yeah. He's great.
I gotta watch
the
show.
You root for him the first few episodes, and he realized, like, wait, no, kills everybody.
Yeah. Wait, why am I rooting
he's
for
a
Pablo
little
Escobar?
Dead, but kind of hooked everyone up with coke.
All right, should we get into some flick chart action before we call it quits?
Flick chart.
Yeah,
all
right,
sure.
So basically, what we're doing here is there's a website called flickchart.com, and we made our own user, War on Pop Culture, and basically these are going to be our movies that we collectively feel are the best of all time. So we're going to keep on doing this until we're able to get,
it pairs two movies head to head.
Oh, yes, I didn't explain that.
Yeah, and you pick which one, and eventually it'll narrow down your top list of movies.
What do we have?
All right, so I'll go first, and then you're going to announce the next one and stuff like that. So okay. You're going to be the first one to talk about this one.
Okay.
I've never seen
one of them.
Our first matchup is Blade Runner versus Scarface.
I've never seen Blade Runner.
But it's your dad's favorite movie.
And I own it. Again, yeah, I own this movie.
So should we skip it then?
Well, just do the movie. We've never seen that one.
You can skip movies if you haven't seen them. So it'll
Scarface versus Planet of the Apes.
Scarface.
2001.
Do I really need to go into why? 2001.
It's just a Mark Wahlberg Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's absolutely unwatchable.
It's awful.
You could put like a bag of trash next to Planet of the Apes, and I might be more interested in a bag of trash.
Planet of the Apes or paint dry on a wall.
Okay, we got Scarface. Justin, you're going Scarface
Scarface is a classic gangster movie. It's great. You know, it comes from nothing and builds an empire.
Pacino at his best.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes is a steaming pile of crap. So, I'm going to go with Scarface.
I'm going with Scarface as well, but I am apparently in the minority here. I did not love Scarface, but I'm still going to pick Scarface. It is obviously better than Planet of the Apes.
Scarface is a 3-hour-long movie. Does it drag? Hell yeah. Points it drag.
I think it's overrated.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is interesting. Mike, you read that this one. Really Justin talks first.
So now we have, we have WALL-E and Saw, the first Saw.
That's a really interesting matchup.
It is, yeah.
You talk, go ahead.
So they don't normally... You know, they don't care about genre when they match up these movies, obviously.
Apples and oranges.
So you've got a kid's movie versus very much not a kid's movie. So for me, this boils down to, I guess, the type of movie. I mean, as Rob has said, Disney Pixar are pretty damn good. And Saw, not a bad movie. I mean, I don't even like horror movies that much, but I did enjoy Saw. I think it was at the time, a very original idea for a movie, but I just think WALL-E is just, I don't want to say classic, but you know, it's a touching movie. It's got some cultural, you know, significance to it. Like at the end when they're all, not the end, but
the last third of the movie,
really touching on some social issues. So I think, I'm gonna go with WALL-E.
I mean, I'm definitely going with WALL-E too, but I do want to say that Saw is a phenomenal horror movie. Probably top 5 horror movies I've ever seen in my life. But because you guys already know this, WALL-E is one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah, so I'm easily picking. This is like slam dunk, hands down, WALL-E here.
I've never seen WALL-E. I will soon see WALL-E. Rob actually has it on my bed right now. I'm going to watch
Ooh la la. On your bed.
And not to knock it, I'm sure I'm going to like it, but I don't see it taking over Saw. Even if it's great, I'm still going to like Saw more, just because I truly enjoyed Saw. So we're going to pick Saw, right? No, we're going to pick WALL-E. Okay. WALL-E wins that round, and over to Justin.
What do we got next, Justin?
So the next match, this one, matchup of horror movies, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which one?
Is 1974.
Okay,
ooh,
good.
Original.
Versus The Shining.
Oh my god.
Yeah. This is a tough one.
See, now, we're going to explain what we're going to be doing next episode. But we're basically going to be talking about our favorite movies of all time. Mike's list consists of The Shining. That is definitely one movie I have seen, but one movie I want to rewatch because I have forgotten a lot about it. I've only watched it once a long time ago. But that being said, it is definitely my pick over Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
It depends. I mean, obviously, it's The Shining for me, but I'm going to break it down. They're two very different horror movies. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is very much gore and shock. The Shining is, in terms of horror movies, it does the best job of any horror movie I've ever seen and probably will ever see in my life of building suspense. You slowly start to realize something is wrong, and then at the end, it's like a big car crash when you realize that Jack Nicholson has lost his mind. And it's also directed by Kubrick. He did an amazing job. There's no question, ultimately, in the end, it's The Shining. But, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original, is amazing.
It's very, very good. Yes.
I, at least in terms of horror films, is in my top 10 horror films, without a doubt.
Yeah, for that same reason, pretty much. I like more of the psychological thriller than the just gore. And not that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was bad. It was just not as much my type of movie as The Shining.
You can't compete against The Shining.
What really seals the deal with The Chainsaw... I mean, I know we're picking Shining.
You gotta realize when you're watching Chainsaw Massacre that this was based off of a true fucking story. And that's the
that
real
makes it
scary frightening. Part of this movie.
That makes like, it truly
obviously
scary.
They've, you know, embellished some things. They've over, you know.
But just the overall fact.
But this happens.
Yeah. By the way,
it just happened.
Even if half of the movie was false, it's like, yeah. This
the other half is like, what, this happened?
What? Like, how? Okay. Next matchup is a little bit more lighthearted. We have Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Have you guys seen it?
I haven't.
Angelina, Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Against Hook, 1991.
I mean, it's not fair. I'm definitely going to... Oh, you... Oh, it's me. I'm going first, right? That's not fair. I'm definitely going to pick Hook. You've all seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
Well, all right. I'm obviously picking Hook. Not even if Miss... Again, if Mr. and Mrs. Smith is good, I'd still pick Hook.
You count for half a point. Because you haven't seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah, I would pick Hook because I've seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And to me, it was just like... It's Brangelina, throw him in a movie and
make some money.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't that great. It was there's some all right action, and it was interesting to see them kind of figure out who each other were. But yeah,
you're absolutely right, Justin. You read my mind by not speaking much. Mr. and Mrs. Smith is not a good movie.
Yeah.
Hook is at least memorable still.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's nostalgically memorable, but it's still memorable nonetheless. It's not a great film, Hook, but it's just one that I would still watch nowadays.
Yeah. I don't get why critics hated Hook. Like, I still to this day, I watch it and I'm like, I don't understand. This movie's so good. I love this movie.
The thing I have about that is, yes, we love the movie, but like, I can't talk.
And it made like zero money. It didn't make any money.
It blows my mind too. I mean, we're always just going to have that bias to it because we saw it as kids. I feel like if we saw it for the first time now, we might think it's the dumbest, stupidest movie of all time.
That's true.
You can't say you wouldn't because you have no idea.
I know I can't, but...
And I think that's why critics didn't like it. I mean, like, we all definitely have a bias towards the movie.
I'll tell you this. If I saw Mr. and Mrs. Smith now, they probably wouldn't like it.
I would not take that.
We are picking... Look. What's the next matchup, Mike?
All right, well, the next matchup is The Long Kiss Goodnight, which I've seen, but I don't remember anything about it, and The Mask.
I haven't seen Long Kiss.
Have you guys seen The Long Kiss Goodnight?
I have not.
Wait, which
is Gina Davis and Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, but I don't really remember.
We haven't seen it. Yeah.
Skip that.
Everyone's seen The Mask, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. You know what button's pressed there?
Yeah.
All right.
Ooh, so Carrie versus Carrie. So now we have The Mask versus Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
I was thinking, like, Carrie.
I thought Carrie, too. Like, Carrie. I'm like, wait, what? Why would you say Carrie to
Carrie?
Justin?
Yeah, I'm going to go with... Just because, like, I like Jim Carrey, but, you know, sometimes his shtick gets a little much for me, and I just think Eternal Sunshine was... out of that, so yeah, I'm gonna pick Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine from the Stars is by far the superior film. It's not even close. This is like Major League versus like not even single A. It's easy. It's Eternal Sunshine, hands down for me. It's not even close.
It is not that easy for me.
It's not even a question.
I love The Mask. Like, if it's on TV, I'm gonna watch it 10 times out of 10. I love The Mask. And I think I'm not gonna pick The Mask. I'm gonna agree with you guys on Eternal Sunshine. I recently rewatched this movie about a week ago because it hit Netflix recently. It's so good. It's such a great movie, and I forgot how great it is.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's a great. He does such a good job in this movie. He's not, as you said, he's not that goofy slapstick person at all. He's like a completely different actor. Yeah.
He's a real actor in that movie.
But forget about him. Kate Winslet's amazing. Mark Ruffalo's amazing.
Everyone.
Who's the old Tom Wilkinson?
Wilkinson's amazing.
Everyone is great in this movie. And the idea itself, Michael Gondry is a genius. We all agree.
It's such an imaginative story.
But... They call him Cuban Pete in The Mask. Come on. You're gonna crack a smile. It's a great scene. But we're gonna go with Eternal Sunshine. Are we doing like one more?
We'll do one more round.
Okay. One more round?
Yeah.
I haven't seen this one. Well, I've seen this one, Return of the Jedi. And then Bubba Hotep.
I don't know what that is.
I've never even seen it. It looks like an Elvis kind of.
You can skip that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can skip that. That's a strange matchup.
Oh, this is a good one. I mean, I think I might be in the minority of this one, but Return of the Jedi versus The Fugitive.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
So let me just, I mean,
wait.
Return of the Jedi is episode 6 now?
Yeah. It's the last of the original.
So the weakest of the original Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Against Fugitive, one of the best, probably, action movies of all time, I would say. I would say easily top 10 of all time. That being said, I'm going to have to pick Star Wars. I'm sorry. I'm picking Star Wars just because it's Star Wars. A bad Star Wars film of the original trilogy. If you gave Fugitive to any of the episode 1 through 3, I'd probably pick Fugitive. But because it's the original trilogy, yeah, definitely going to go with Jedi on this one. Mike?
I'm only picking... I agree. Jedi is the worst of the original three. And it's not fair because I remember I really liked The Fugitive, but the problem with that is I saw it when I was 9, and I haven't seen it since.
Oh, no, it's still good.
I'm sure it's great. I remember Tommy Lee Jones being amazing in it. I remember being a great movie, but in terms of movies that I love, like, if they're both on TV, I'm picking Jedi every time.
So. Well, for the record, I would pick The Fugitive. Just because I didn't see the Star Wars movie until I was older, and it's definitely the weakest of the three, so it doesn't have that nostalgia for me. And Fugitive, just really enjoyed it as an action movie. But Jedi, it is.
Okay, let's call it quits there. We spent a long time on this podcast episode. If you're still listening, you get a prize. Actually, this is the point where you get a prize. So please email either Justin, myself, or Mike, and we will present you with a prize at the next podcast episode. So, congratulations.
You have to come here, though.
Yes, you have to.
It's my attic bedroom.
You have to come here, but I promise you, the prize is worth it. So, if you made it, congratulations. You get a round of applause right here from me only, apparently.
But, you have to take a brief quiz, though, so we know that you listened to the entire... Is it almost 2 hours?
Almost 2 hours.
The Game of Thrones segment was really intense.
It was our special 20th anniversary.
We're setting records. I do want to just say, even though no one is listening at this point, we have a blog. You have to go check it out. waronpopculture.wordpress.com. We have two new followers the last week. You can be the next one if you're still listening.
Catch the train while it's early.
Yep.
Finally, I just want to say that what we're doing next episode, hopefully we're going to be recording it in 2 or 3 weeks. We had this idea that we're all going to list our favorite movies of all time. We're not going to number them, but vaguely kind of our favorite movies.
Movies that I enjoy. I didn't put that much thought into it.
I put a lot of thought into it. Favorite movies of all time. And what we're going to do is that we're in the process of all trying to watch each other's favorite movies. When we get back to our new podcast episode, we're going to give our list to the other two members. Is that what we're doing?
And have them do what they will with it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Every single round, we're going... The other people will be voting off a movie that they feel is the weakest out of the other person's favorite movie. And we're going to see what comes down to the peer-reviewed favorite movie of the trio. Right? Is that basically what we're doing?
Yeah pretty
Did
much.
Did I say that correctly?
No, each person's favorite movie... based off of the other two.
Right.
Is there one thing we found is we don't have a single movie that transcends all three lists.
Yeah. That was the first step.
Yes. We do have a couple doubles.
Me and you overlap one, and me and you overlap one.
That is
correct.
I don't
know if you two overlap.
I don't think.
Yes, one. Because he changed one of his to make sure that it overlapped.
Yeah. Okay.
So we all have one overlap.
It, but yeah.
Right. We all have one overlap. But you're right. There's not one movie that is all three. So that's going to be really interesting to see which one survives the gauntlet. Can we just call it the gauntlet now? The movie gauntlet.
We don't want to reveal any of our picks already, right?
No, we're not going to reveal
any. I'm trying my hardest to make sure this one movie is Justin's favorite.
Is it Good Burger? It's going to be Good Burger.
It's a write-in.
Write-in ballot.
That's a one write-in per person.
All right, anyone has any final words before you pass away?
I hope to have a lot of words before I pass away. Thank you, Rob.
His best word was Good Burger.
Croaking out the Good Burger.
My copy of Good Burger.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Apparently, we're going to be able to vote next episode, so please stay tuned.
Bye.
Goodbye.
And